From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Brad. I'll clarify it with the dynamic duo this week. As the three musketeers can't all be here because Mark from the Consumer Action Group is away on a business trip and probably can't find any internet. But never mind, we'll have him back next week.
Where is he in, on a business trip where you can't find internet, eh? Eh? Sorry, Mark. Sorry. Churlish of me, I know.
That was under churlish. We're just about to do a serious topic on Postcard from Pop Brad, and you're being churlish.
I'm sorry. I'm just a big churl.
You said it, not me. In the UK, let's put this into perspective for those outside of the UK. Over the past, years and years and years it goes, there's been quite a big debate about the use of phone hacking and other sort of ways of getting stories within newspapers.
Eric and I rap about it a lot.
Well, no, I'm not going to rap about it. So anyway, it's ended up that there's a very sort of posh geezer called Leveson who is now running the Leveson Inquiry.
Leveson.
Is it Leveson or Leveson?
One or the other.
One or the other, yes. Anyway, it's Leveson. You take your pick. And he, at his inquiry, is taking evidence from those who claim they've had their privacy invaded by the media, and they are looking more specifically at phone hacking. At the end of all this, this guy's got to face a nasty job, which I wouldn't want for all the tea in China or even in India, because... Currently, the print media in the UK is self-regulated via the PCC, Press Complaints Commission, of which a big chunk of the media, as in the broadcast media, won't actually publicly come out and say it, but they are slightly aggrieved that the broadcast media is regulated by a government agency, although it's a standalone agency, it should be said, whereas the print media isn't. And they've always thought this was unfair. But Leveson has now got to get to the point of saying, okay, we know the public want a new body, but the print media wants to keep the current system of self-governing, i.e. the Press Complaints Commission. So he's sitting like piggy in the middle of the print press on one side and a swathe of people on the other side. That was good for me. A swathe of people on the other side saying...
So he has to repeat it, yeah, ladies yes. and
gentlemen. Well, I don't often get them.
He used a big word and it only had six letters in it and one syllable.
Oh dear. And so he does. I mean, I do have some sympathy for this guy because whichever way he jumps at the end, he's not going to fit. But one of the guys that's been giving evidence this week is a gentleman called Mark Thompson. And he represents people like Jude Law, Hugh Grant, Lily Allen, and has argued for a stronger regulatory system for the press for some time. And he actually said in his evidence, I really don't think that just a few adjustments to the PCC, Press Complaints Commission, will work, he said. Some of the worst offenders are photographic agencies and the paparazzi, and the PCC can't control them.
Yeah, that's right. And why should they?
Pardon?
I say, why should they control them? Why should the Fourth Estate have any control at all?
I'm lost now. You've confused
why,
me.
Why are you lost? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Well, I'll explain.
Yes, you
right. In reality, that's for the ladies and gentlemen start to hate me like they usually do when you get me going on things like this. I believe, right, yes. that there should that what should come out of this Leveson thing is that there should be a clear definition of what privacy consists of. And how it should be, how privacy should be regulated. Mm-hmm. But equally, there should be a clear definition of what public interest is. Because there has to be a point where the Fourth Estate is allowed to use any means, fair or foul, to expose the wrongdoings of the people who are in power. And that is when it's in the public interest. Mm-hmm. Now, the argument generally is that things are just interesting to the public. Well, I actually think that that should be defended as a right as well. That people should be able to write things about people because they're interesting.
I'm just mulling that over for a bit. That was quite a profound statement, actually. Have you been practicing that?
No, it's what I believe. I believe it from my journalistic heart, from my red top soul. I believe it is the reality of the situation. And that the fact, you see, look at it this way, Eric. I've not practiced this, honestly, but you know, I really do feel very strongly about it.
Passionate's the word you were looking for, I think.
Yeah, that's right. If you take away the right of the press to be able to investigate things that are fairly unpalatable, you know, like one of the every think of all the people who've been called to this inquiry.
Let's take it out of that. Let's take it to somebody like J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. Go on, man.
I mean, not done a lot. Has always said, don't involve my children in my public affairs. Etc. Only to find out that a journalist had managed to get a letter into the school bag of one of her children to try and find out some stuff about J.K. Rowling. Now you can't defend trying to get the spouse of J.K. Rowling to give details because. You know, they don't really understand the rules of the game at that age, especially when they're five and 6 years old.
I think something like that is right. And I'm not really sure of the veracity of that. That's one of these bizarre things that came out. Yeah. And if somebody did do that, then yes, that is wrong. That is
right.
That is
okay. So then who should regulate that part of it? Should it be the industry? Or should it be like we are here, Lee? We push the bounds a lot, and we certainly don't make it soft, but we are still regulated by Ofcom because we have an Ofcom license. It doesn't inhibit us investigating things like we did earlier on in the programme. No, it doesn't stop us doing so many things because the actual control is quite laid back.
Yeah, I agree. I understand exactly what you're saying, but I think it's a different thing. There is always going to be collateral damage when you have freedom of expression, and that's what we're talking about, is freedom of expression and freedom of the right to investigate. There will be collateral damage. There are people who will do things that are unacceptable, but the control is generally that these people are sacked for what they do and don't work in the industry because the industry doesn't particularly want them in there. But the alternative to having a blanket ban on any kind of real investigative journalism, which is what these people are talking about, and what really annoys... Yes, they are.
No,
yes,
because if we take the model of Ofcom, and I'm not saying one way or the other, take the model of Ofcom. If you look at that and look at the investigative journalism programmes on the television...
not very good.
Why?
Because to put it brutally and honestly, because TV journalists and radio journalists generally don't know how to investigate. And also, there is a simple... Yeah, they don't. What's the last big expose that TV has come out with? What's the last expose that the newspapers have come out with? Actually, what the newspapers have did was expose themselves over the phone hacking debacle. It was the newspapers who exposed that. They exposed MPs over their expenses scandal. They exposed everybody for all sorts of wrongdoing.
What about the programme...
TV doesn't really do that.
What about the programme Rogue Trader... where the people they've passed all the stuff on to the police, and some people have gone to prison because of the investigative journalism. And that's just one programme. There's several like it.
Yeah, but Rogue Trader and stuff like that. You might as well talk about Dominic Littlewood, the man who passes out if he has a pint of beer, he says. You know, you're talking about people who... It's basic newspaper kind of bloody... blinking, investigative journalism. It's not proper going right down into the gutters and digging out the dirt and things like that.
But
it's
they do. When was the last... do this. Otherwise, they wouldn't have a case to take to trading standards, and more importantly, they wouldn't have a case to take to the police that the police can use with the DPP, which is the people that prosecute.
I agree, but there is a difference between exposing a rogue builder who's put your extension on upside down, or an exposing a whole government full of MPs, a House of Lords full, a House of Commons full of MPs, who've screwed the country blind for 20, 30, 40 years. That's investigative journalism, and that's what they're trying to step down on by using people like Steve Coogan. Right? Who says, oh, I didn't want to be famous. It was the press that made me famous. Of course you wanted to be famous, you knob. That's why you're in the entertainment business.
I think there's double standards there.
Well, it could be double standards. I've never hidden the fact that I'm quite capable of operating double standards. Go on, tell me what they are.
Well, you know, if some of these, I'm specifically picking on one rather than generalising. Within Road Traders, they got a guy caught who turned over $250,000, which apparently he'd...
Remember, our MPs used to do that in an afternoon when they put their expenses claimed in.
Excuse me. When they went after this guy, he was a nightmare to find, but they tracked him down and they got him, and people were actually questioning the validity of the work of the programme. So what they did was they then did an update on all the people they'd been having a go at and told them what had happened. Well, some of these guys got put in prison. Others certainly had the sort of normal slap on the wrist, you've got to do 100 hours of community spirit work or something, which I can't see the point of. But they actually took it through to the end goal. So you can't say that broadcast journalists don't know how to do it. And equally,
I can say that a weekly newspaper rookie reporter would be capable of doing that kind of thing. And also, there's a very simple practical thing in this.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to go undercover with a massive camera and a sound crew.
You don't have massive cameras and sound crews now. You go undercover with cameras on your buttons.
Well, I know you do, but you know what I mean.
No, you see, you can't come up with that argument because, yes, that would have been true 20 years ago, Lee. You're absolutely right. But in today's world, you can put a camera in a buttonhole, nobody can see it, and there was...
You've been able to do that. James Bond does it all the time.
You see, back to the tabloid thing. Let's get down to the gutter and get on. Let's move on to an important subject, as we'll never agree on that one. We'll wait to see what Mr. Leveson, Lord Justice Leveson, actually does at the end of it, and then that'll be the end of it, so it doesn't really matter. We can pontificate for hours, but he's got the magic button. European Court of Justice rejected the web piracy filter, which is going to kind of wreck the UK's new Digital Economy Act, because it means that where the UK was trying to get the internet service providers to do stuff, the European Court said, no, can't have any of that. No, no, no. And they've actually overruled it. So where does it leave the UK Digital Economy Act?
Well, it's just a strange thing, isn't it? It's there, you've got people trying to regulate the press, right? And then the internet is just allowed to run wild. It's ludicrous. This is the sort of thing that needs looking at. Why these things are allowed to go ahead on the internet is just ludicrous.
I think it's because too many people don't know what their rights are. And I will say that equally of newspapers, Lee. The small guy on the street, which is going to be the one that's most affected by this law, probably doesn't know all the digital rights laws that are around and how they can just go to court and stop it anyway. Because you can't actually take the internet service provider to court. It's got to be the person in editorial control that you take to court.
That's right. This is it. This is what we've said all along, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
The bloke who puts it up.
Yeah,
but the service provider should be.
If you think about it, if somebody was doing in the old days, and there were, and I'll give you an example, there were people in the old days that ran what were called bulletin boards, not like the modern ones, where you dialed into it across a phone line.
Yeah.
And you had point-to-point recognition. That was the way it worked. So you dialed out your little old telephone exchange. We go, tick, 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 and you would get to point B, where you would have a computer talking to a computer in the very old days, before the World Wide Web. And to track those people down that were doing, sending out really nasty, unacceptable of anybody type pictures often of children and very young children, it was almost impossible for the police to catch them. It was a nightmare.
Can I just interject for a second on that very, very quickly?
Yeah.
Because I did actually do an expose on these lines for the Daily Star newspaper 15 years ago.
Exactly. And they were horrendous.
I never saw it on telly.
It was horrendous to try and do anything. It was horrendous to try and get the point to point right, because people could just move. The glory of, and I'm not defending what that people do on the internet, you cannot attack BT for doing it, just because they happen to be the big network in the UK. But B, the internet has actually got more people caught because they feel safe on there. What they don't realise is, and here's a top tip, never, ever put anything on the internet unless you want it to bite you on the backside later, because people can trace it. And if you go through the right rules, people can trace it. In the old days, pre-World Wide Web, you had a hell of a job to prove it, hell of a job to trace it. So in actual fact, the bad thing is actually quite a good thing if you look at it that way around. I'm not suggesting that the Digital Economy Act, which is against piracy predominantly, should be knocked down. But you cannot blame BT or TalkTalk or any of the other providers for what they're doing, because they only give you the pipe. Whatever you put in the pipe or receive on the pipe,
and it, smoke it.
It's up to you.
Moving on. Yeah, but there is a point. No, before we move on, there is a point very swiftly that where newspapers are being taken to task about the fact that they are commercial enterprises making money out of exposing the wrongdoings of the rich and famous, right? BT are making commercial wealth out of not monitoring and policing what they do for a living, and they're getting away with it. There is something wrong there.
Well,
I rest my case.
Well, all you've got to do is say, is BT the editor?
Well, it should be. You should be responsible for what you're in charge of. That's the basic elements of control.
You can't
be in charge of what responsible for. You're in charge of.
Technically, the internet doesn't allow for that facility, Lee, and that's just a technical issue. And even if BT were to try and do something about that, the way the structure of the internet is designed and operates, more importantly, you cannot stop people hiding the fact of where they're living. A 13-year-old spotty kid can do it. So
that's right.
They can do it, BT don't stand a chance. And so to say to BT, you must regulate all this stuff, is actually technically impossible. That was the point I made at the beginning of this whole subject. It's not technically viable. And until
it should be made technically viable.
Well, that would mean every country in the world having to agree on a standard.
Well, if you've got a World Wide Web, maybe that's what you need.
Well, can you see China, Russia, America and Saudi Arabia all agreeing on what content should be on the web?
Send in Tony Blair. He can sort anything out like that.
You see, red top answer, no answer. Talking of which, fake forums and comments...
Absolutely. This is a bit different.
...are actually not helping the cause either. And I know from clients that I've worked for that, and I do talk a lot with Facebook over this, where there's been fake accounts set up to actually, if you like, present a bad image of companies. And we will check those out for people, and we will work on them, and we will talk to people like Facebook, Google, and everybody else to get issues like that resolved. And whilst, thank you very much, it gives me a job to do, the fact is, it is not right that people put up fraudulent claims and fraudulent reviews of companies on websites, because there was one young man, and he had a, if I remember rightly, Lee, he had a computer business, and it was a nice little family business. Somebody put something on the internet that he was a really bad person, and I mean really, really bad. Within about 3 to 4 weeks, 80% of his business had gone. And he couldn't figure out why. And he actually started to phone people up. Some people just wouldn't talk to him. Others just said, well, what do you expect with what you do? And eventually found out what it was. And he went to Google, and Google sent back the standard stock answer. It's nothing to do with me, Governor. You have to blame the people who's doing it, blah, 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 blah. Well, the truth is, somebody somewhere is going to stand up against Google and say, sorry, lads, you know, because I know that they know, where the content is originating, because they have to see that on the way they search. So they can actually check this stuff out, and someone has got to take not the fake forum people, the little people, to task, because that won't work. What they've got to do is take the owners of the platform to task. And the owners of the platform are Google. Facebook, Bing. No, not just Google, all of them. You know, Ask Jeeves, the whole bunch, have got to start to get their act together, because those guys are the ones who are seen incorrectly, I have to say, incorrectly by the public as the kind of publisher. They are not the publisher. They're not. It's you when you put stuff on your blog. It just so happens that it goes from your blog into Google. But Google have got to have some moral responsibility, I have to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, isn't this what I was just saying 5 minutes ago when he was trying to shoot me down?
No,
that there has to be some responsibility imposed on the internet.
But you can't do it on the people. You can't do it on the internet itself. The internet.
I'm talking as a general term.
Exactly, and that's the problem. That's what brings me back to the problem, because the people legislating, they don't know what they're talking about. I mean, half of them couldn't even turn a computer on, for goodness sake. But they're pandering to the whims of the public who say we want a cure, but they don't know how the cure can work. So they're coming up with stupid legislation that can't work technically, and then they're going, oh dear, it don't work. Because they're asking the wrong questions. They're like a rookie journalist, Lee, asking the wrong questions and missing out on the great interview.
That's right, exactly. And that's exactly what's up with the Levinson or whatever it's called inquiry, because that's exactly what's going to happen there. We're talking about people. They're interviewing and using people who've got axes to grind, not people who have an academic view or an intellectual view of things. They're doing people who've got axes to grind, and they are then making a decision about an industry they don't understand. And that's exactly what the same problem you've got with the internet. But it's just something that needs sorting out. But more and more it needs to be sorted out on the internet than it does in any other form of media.
Well, you can't. I actually think if you got, which won't happen because it's not possible at the moment, but if you had the same standard situation in every country, and I'm not saying every country would agree totally, whereas if you want a freedom of the press with a self-regulating body, I have no objections to that whatsoever, provided that you have self-regulatory broadcast complaints commission in the same way, and you have the same for the internet as well. So everything's got to be on the same level playing field. Currently, it's not, because the internet's not regulated. Broadcast media is regulated by an independent body, and print media is regulated by self-regulation. There's three different things. If you put,
there is.
And you can't have three things. It's either got to be one or the other.
Oh, I'm bored with this now. But if you look at the way that print media are now taking over the internet, you will see that those standards are now being imposed by the media, by the print media, on the internet. And that is now because the newspapers that are being published on there are now being updated every few seconds. You know, you start with your basic splash in the morning. 5 minutes later, there'll be a news splash there. And that is because the regulations that operate within the newspaper industry are now starting to filter through onto the internet.
We'll leave that till another time. Just to let you know, all very right, quickly, then. Google waves goodbye to seven more Is it failures or not? They're about to close if you
not
do
successes,
use...
Not successes, are they?
Well, definitely not. Pardon me. Google Wave, Google Bookmarks List, Google Friends Contact, Google Gears, Google Search Time Loan, Knoll, and the Renewable Energy Cheaper Than Coal, a project which aimed to find out ways to improve solar power. All of them will be switched off very shortly. So if you've got any data up there, get it out quickly. Is this really my Twitter account? Well, Kelly Brooks has got
it. It doesn't say Twitter.
No, it says Titter.
You can't say that word.
I can. It's laughter. Having a little titter. is this really my Titter account? Well, actress Kelly Brook has got a brilliant way of fixing the problem, hasn't she?
Well, I don't think it's a brilliant way. Anybody out there actually heard of who Kelly Brooks is, right? And why is she going to show her titters on the inter Twitter, right, to say who she is? What's wrong with showing your face, Kelly? Does people not recognise your face? Does everybody just rest your boobble thingle what's it?
Trouble is, do you know what I'm thinking?
What?
If it was page 3 of the newspaper, it'd be perfectly acceptable.
Well, yeah, but I said... Does she do topless modelling?
I don't know. And do you know what?
If I put my gentleman's sausage on my Twitter account, I'd be taken to jail.
Lee. What? We both used the bathroom in Aqua City one day. You would not go to jail for that. You might get sympathy votes, but you wouldn't go to jail.
Are you saying I have gentleman's chipolata?
Well, I think it's more like the cocktail size.
Are you sticking to that?
Very good. Sad news when somebody like Sir Philip Green, if you don't know who he is, look him up on the internet. He is a guru of high street shopping, including Topshop, British Home Stores, or BHS as it's known. Also, Burton's, Dorothy Perkins, Miss Selfridge. I can't remember using any of those shops for like...
I've never shopped in those.
But anyway, Sir Philip Green is finding it really hard and expects 450 to 460 stores will close in the next 3 years when their leases expire. So if he can't make money, who can?
Well, that's the problem, is it? That is the problem over in Britain now. You can't make money. Over here, we've got in India, there are a lot of high street stores who came over here to make money. And the problem is they're suffering the same because over here they are trying to charge British prices for goods when the goods are being made over here a lot cheaper. And they could actually be selling them at the
price.
Right,
we've got 1 minute to finish this off. And we've got to get this in. A burglar who's 16 years of age, when he burgled the house, wrote a letter. And they claim that this letter was written to the person who was burgled, saying it's your flipping fault because you left the window open. Now, I have to say very quickly, it was promoted by a police force. And I've got a cynical hat on that says to me, nice one, West Yorkshire Police, like it, but isn't this just a bit of a PR stunt?
Of course it is. Absolutely. Of course it's a PR story, and I think it's a particularly disgusting one as well, because what they've actually managed to do is elevate this dirty, scummy little thug up to incredible status amongst his mates. He's become famous because he's the man who cocked a snook at society and told the people that he damaged what a load of dumb idiots they were.
At that point, we'll leave Postcard from Pop Red for another week. We'll see you next week. Same channel, same time, whenever you like, really. Take care. Bye-bye.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.